Hello and welcome everyone to Current Events, the podcast about what two randos are watching on television. And right now, that's Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
which is turning out to be one of the stranger television shows. As of this episode, we really took a left-hand turn in the story. First of all, they used the first two episodes as sort of the world's longest cold open. Then they got into the rhythm of telling a story for all of seven episodes and then took a strange left turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you want to... this episode is episode 9, Into the Forest I Go.
Yes. Which, you know, yeah, okay, so they've left the beaten track, and now they are off into the forest.
Yes, this was a very good episode, by the way.
It was just very good.
Very strange, yes. And very, very dramatic, very tense.
Yes, it was good. So anyway, we'll do the IMDb for what it's worth.
Start with
that. This one was rated at a 7.9 by lots of people.
Wait, before you do anything, mm-hmm. Let me just say that I'm Jake McMillan, and you're Mike Slocum.
Hi, everybody!
I remembered before the end this time.
Yes, awesome.
Okay. All right, give me the recap. This is the most important part of the podcast.
So, rated 7.9 on IMDb, which is pretty darn good. Bypassing Starfleet's orders, Lorca uses the USS Discovery crew's ultimate asset, the ship itself, in an effort to end the war with the Klingons once and for all. And, you know, maybe...
Yeah, we don't know. But I'll tell you something funny. After this episode ended, I was so just like, where is this show going? Mm-hmm. You know, that I went and read like the IMDb recaps for the upcoming episodes. Mm-hmm. And I just want to reassure you that they told me nothing.
Yes. Excellent.
Yeah, this episode picked up right where the previous one left off, which was that the Povans had sent a signal requesting that the Federation and the Klingons meet in around their planet.
And come to complete peaceful harmony.
Talk it out.
Yeah, talk it out.
Which shows exactly how much the Povans know about the Klingons.
Yes, or reality.
Yes. So essentially, at this point, the Starfleet Command has pulled everyone back into Federation space, and they do not plan to protect the Povans.
No.
And the Admiral is ordering Lorca to do the same, to go to Starbase 46, mm-hmm. and not engage with the Klingons. And, of course, Lorca is, you know, he's adamant about that they can't do that.
Yep.
You're never really sure with Lorca whether it's because he wants to protect the Povans or because he wants to fight the Ship of the Dead.
Yes. Or something, yes. There's lots of reasons here.
He comes up with a pretty clever plan. He tells them that they're going to have to warp back to 46, and that's going to take 3 hours.
Yeah.
Which gives him 3 hours to come up with a plan.
Yep. And it's interesting. He basically says, it's going to require Stamets to do some stuff, and so he wants Stamets to go to completely get checked out by the doctor, which is what Stamets was absolutely trying to avoid.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what he really needs is for some sort of excuse as to why they didn't use the Black Alert to get back the spore drive, and of course, that's exactly what Stamets didn't want. He didn't want to involve his husband in this because it could cause him to lose his career.
Yes, or somebody's going to get shut out.
But also, you know, because his husband is about to find out what's really going on with him.
Yes, yeah.
Which is none of it's good.
This is not a good situation to be in anybody's reality. But, you know.
Yeah, so we cut... to commercial, which we don't have, and then they come back and they have come up with a plan which made me laugh out loud.
Really? Because I thought it's actually fairly scientifically reasonable.
It's absolutely scientifically reasonable. It's just that what they're going to have to do.
Oh, yes.
Right. Yeah. They have to beam aboard the Ship of the Dead in the moment between when the cloaking device goes down and the shields come up, mm-hmm. and then infiltrate a Klingon ship, place two active sensors that will sort of like stereoscopically gather data on the frequencies and wavelengths that they use for the cloaking device, and then escape. And all of this time, the Discovery has to keep them there without being destroyed by them.
And then once they get off, to do 133 micro jumps.
Yeah, that was the part that really blew my mind. I was like, we know, Glorka doesn't know, but we know that Stamets has been having trouble.
Yes.
And now he has to do 133 of these things. They're small ones, but that's, you know, I don't know if that's going to help much.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, it's a great plan, though. It's just like scientists do to check gravitational lensing today. It's like you've got to do lots of measurements, and then you can analyze all this data and then come up with actually a picture of what's there. And, you know, to use these, you know, imperfections in the way, you know, that EM radiation goes, and you know, it's really actually quite ingenious to say, yeah, we're gonna you know, do this and collect enough data to analyze to basically, you know, figure out how to reveal them.
Yeah, no, it made perfect sense, and it sounded exactly like what a scientist would come up with.
Yep.
It was just the lengths to which they were going to have to go to implement the plan.
Yes.
Was insane, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've got to admit that if I was on board the Discovery and they said, you need to beam onto a Klingon ship, I would just calmly take off my Starfleet badge, put it in his hand, walk away.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Medical Bay, and Dr. Hugh is pissed. He has just figured out what's going on with his husband. Mm-hmm. And apparently the spore drive is reprogramming Stamets' brain.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, and Lorca's response is, we need 133 jumps.
Yeah, like, make it happen.
Yes, and he is willing to kill Stamets to get them, absolutely.
Yes.
And this is the thing that is so true to character in the way that they write Lorca, which is so smart, is that, you know, if I personally were in charge, right, and this was required, and I knew that Stamets was weakening, mm-hmm. right? I don't know that I could ask him to do it.
Yep.
And Lorca basically talks him into it.
Yeah, I mean, he you know, all this, you know, you're an explorer, you're, yeah. you know, look at all the side, but you might actually be revealing other dimensions and you know, just sort of everything he can think of to you know, to motivate Stamets and then to the whole crew, you know. You've gone from scientists to warriors. You know, we're gonna do this. And it was
it was a stirring speech, and it really does kind of show the single-mindedness that Lorca approaches everything with. His, you know, all he wants is to beat the Klingons.
Yep.
And this is, you know, essentially his road to redemption. We don't know what happened on his ship or how his or why he ended up scuttling the ship with everyone aboard,
mm-hmm.
During the battle, but he wants redemption.
Yes, he does. He did to make.
And
that's certainly what we. It appears, you know, if he's got other ulterior motives, we don't know them, but that certainly explains it.
Yeah, his behavior to me, someone who has not seen any further than this into the series, is just someone who is, you know, committed to doing something that will erase a past mistake,
yep.
or at least even things out. And that's also in line with the other stories that are going on with Ash Tyler and Michael Burnham.
They're all sort of in this mode of they have come from a past where they, you know, Burnham needs to do the same thing. She needs to make good her bad.
She needs to stop being the woman who is the only mutineer ever in Starfleet,
yep.
and instead become the woman who helped beat the Klingons,
yes.
right? So, and Ash Tyler, of course, is haunted by what he did to survive on the Klingon prison ship.
Yep, which this episode exposes exquisitely.
It's interesting to me. Well, we'll get there because I have a lot of questions about that. But anyway, so So Lorca says he wants 133 jumps and convinces Stamets to give it a try. And Stamets is like, yeah, okay, I'll do it, because he's so excited about what's going to happen on the 134th jump.
Yes. Which is
he's going to get to become an explorer and look into all this negative space and all these things, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I made a note here that Lorca has been tracking the data from his previous jumps and that there are indications of parallel universes.
Yep.
In this data.
Yes.
And I will tell you this, in the same way that my dog will sit by any door that is closed simply because she wants it open, mm-hmm. Star Trek will always go to a parallel universe if it exists.
Yes, that's right.
So I had a feeling when I saw those bubbles, I was like, okay, I know where we're going.
That's right. Well, you have an idea where we're going. It gets interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's very good. I really like the actual beginning of the implementation. You know, the Klingons come. They sort of get, you know, Lorca sort of goads them into, you know, well, come on, let's see what you got.
Well, first, though, you know, Burnham talks her way onto the mission.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right? So, of course, Tyler, being the head of security, is going to be going, because they just don't have red shirts on this ship, apparently. So Burnham wants to go and eventually talks her way onto it by basically saying, if you don't send me to do this, someone who knows the ship of the dead, you know, then you really don't have any reason to keep me here.
Yep.
Right. And so she gets assigned, and they go down to the transport room to wait.
Yep. And I one thing I really liked about this particular execution of the beaming onto the Klingon ship, they are crouched, they're a small target, and they've got their weapons out and pointed as they beam.
It would be
over.
Exactly the way you would do it.
Yes.
Right? Is because you're going to kind of, there's going to be a moment of disorientation, and then you could be in a battle situation. Right?
Immediately. Yeah, so, you don't just like beam over with your phaser on your hip and like your hands up.
Right.
And like, no, it's like, no, that's yeah, not that, how you
that,
go.
I made a note of that too. That was very, very good. It's the first time that Star Trek has taken seriously the concept of beaming into a battle zone.
Yes.
Know?
And yeah, and you know, exactly, you know, I'm surprised that they weren't wearing some sort of, you know, like battle armor or something. Because we know that Starfleet has that. I think we've seen it before. But anyway, yeah, it's just definitely a good plan. But what killed me was they get over there and it's Michael Burnham brings up a Google Maps to get to the bridge. It's like basically.
Yeah. 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 But first, Tilly spills the beans the side effects.
Yes.
When Stamets is talking, when they're talking about the problems, you know, that his white space in his brain is being overwritten or whatever.
Yep.
She thinks that he has finally told Hugh about the problems that he's been having, and he hasn't. So, you know, they're getting ready to do the jumps. And it's interesting to me because these are two men who obviously care a lot about each other, but they're both professionals.
Yep.
Right. And they're like, okay, I realize that we're going to have a big fight later, mm-hmm. but right now we have a job to do, and my job is to keep you alive.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good. So
then they beam over, mm-hmm. and the very first thing that they do is they find out that the Admiral's on board.
Yes.
Or that there is a human of
human life signs, yes.
On board, yeah. Let's see. So now they are bound to do a rescue.
Yep. Yep.
As well as their, you know, of course this immediately complicates everything. Mm-hmm. So they start looking for her.
Yeah,
well, they place the first sensor.
Yes. Which, and I gotta say that, you know, yeah, nice fancy sensor, but it's beeping and making a lot of noise, and it's like, it's like it could get kicked over accidentally. It's just like,
yeah, I gave that one a pass. I didn't really care, but it is kind of funny. You'd really want to put it someplace it wouldn't be seen, and it should not be heard.
Yes, and it should like have magnets so that it's like it sticks to something, or you know, just
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So. interestingly, they find where the Admiral is, and she's behind a locked door in that room full of dead bodies.
Yeah.
Which gotta stink. And Tyler cuts the right wires to get the door to open,
mm-hmm.
which I just thought was super suspicious. But he explained it away by saying, "I was on a Klingon prison ship for 7 months." Mm-hmm. You know.
Yep.
Okay. So they go inside. They find the Admiral.
Who can't move.
But you know who else is in there is Laurel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And Ash freaks. He basically.
Yeah. So he sees her. He has a drawn phaser, and he just completely melts down emotionally and mentally. He has a trauma flashback that renders him useless for the time being.
Yep.
It actually turns out to be Burnham who shoots her, but apparently just hits her with a stun.
Yeah. Yep. Finally, they've calibrated stun for Klingons. Basically says, everybody's coming home. Ash is in shock, and so she's got to go save the day.
Gives a phaser to the Admiral and says, here, take care of yourself. I'm going to go do this, and I'll come back, and we're all going home.
Yep, yeah.
We should mention that the Admiral can't move her legs.
Yes, exactly.
So we've got, Tyler is completely in shock at this point, and the Admiral can't move, but at least she has a phaser.
This is going to work out well.
So what Discovery is doing to kind of get the Ship of the Dead to stay where it is they're popping in and out, and every time they pop in, they blast it, and then they pop away before they can shoot.
Yeah, taunting them,
But
not hitting them hard because they've got a crew on board.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, exactly. So much happened in this episode.
I know,
it's really crazy.
Right,
but,
they need
to get the Ship of the Dead to cloak.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
and
not yet. So, they're basically is that right? How does this? Oh, right. Yeah, they haven't. They're trying to. The Ship of the Dead is like fighting back. I mean, they're shooting at Discovery, trying to track it and having issues, and Discovery keeps popping around, and they're trying to anticipate where it's going to go. And finally, they just sort of go, "This is pointless." And the Klingons said, "Okay, we're going to try and leave. I mean, we're going to go. We're going to cloak, and we're going to get out of here."
We can't fight the Discovery because they keep popping out every time we try to get a firing solution.
Yeah,
right?
And so they're not hurting us.
Burnham is realizes, well, she can't let that happen, mm-hmm. right? So she's got to do something to keep them where they are,
yep.
and get them to cloak, right?
Mm-hmm.
She starts a fight.
Yeah,
she just starts shooting people.
on the bridge.
And
basically in an effort to distract them. It's like to keep them in place, to get them, to get into the Klingon's head and, eventually,
Well, she challenges Cole to a fight.
Yeah,
basically,
she challenges
his honor.
Yeah, I killed Takuvma, Come on, let's see what you got. So
You don't have the honor of carrying Georgiou's Starfleet badge because you weren't there.
Yep.
I was there. I killed Takuvma.
Yeah.
Right? But you weren't. So you're basically, it's borrowed honor here.
Yeah,
right?
You're super.
So if you want to own that badge, you need to fight me.
Mm-hmm.
And he laughs and goes, okay, cool, pulls out a knife, gives it to her, and then, they get into a knife fight.
Yep. Yeah.
And damn, Burnham is she's jumping all around. It's like he's a level boss in a video game, right? You got to keep moving. You can't let him touch you, right?
Yes.
Because he will kill you with one punch.
Yes.
You just got to keep moving and laying on the damage, right?
Yep.
And she gets him. She stabs him right in the leg, and then they they've already cloaked, which means that they have gotten the data that they need, and they're about to be beamed out.
Yep.
So she tells the bridge that there are actually three of them to beam out.
Mm-hmm.
That they have found the admiral, and so as they start to beam the admiral and Ash Tyler out, Laurel jumps out of the shadows and climbs on his back so that she also hitches
a ride. Yes.
Yeah, hitches a ride.
Yeah, it was fortunately Ash got his brain back in gear just in time because there some Klingons showed up and
right. Yeah, he was able to snap out of it long enough to fire on them.
Yep.
And he used a Klingon phaser, which does not have a stun setting. It has a splash setting.
Yes. the pulverize, the juicerize, the Gallagherize.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the watermelon hammer setting.
Right.
So once they get all their readings, they beam everybody out, and then now they're able to fire on the ship of the dead, and they let all the photon torpedoes go.
Yep.
And because everyone on the bridge was basically watching a knife fight,
mm-hmm.
right? They weren't doing anything to defend themselves.
Yes.
And the ship of the dead goes up.
Yeah. Yep. And everybody's kind of pleased about that. It is gone.
One of the really nice things, too, was that when she realizes that the fight's about to be over, because she's about to be beamed out, Burnham snags Georgiou's badge and then leaps over a railing and says, you know, basically, you didn't earn this.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
And beams out.
She beams out. Yeah, absolutely.
It was a nice exit.
Yeah, it was. And it was good to see a Starfleet ship do some damage, you know.
Yes.
It's for most of this season, it just felt like you know, we were hitting ping pong balls at them and they were shooting back at us with shotguns.
Yes.
You know.
Yep.
The entire complement of photon torpedoes had an effect.
Yes, it did.
Yep. Yeah. So it was a nice
you know, bringing the captain's badge back. That was a nice sort of a nice touch.
Yeah, and Saru gives an approving look at over at Michael Burnham for the first time.
Yeah, he's coming around.
And Ash Tyler looks like he's been through the ringer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And of course, now I'm just totally confused. I have spent so much time thinking that this guy is a spy.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the episode, they did something that made me kind of hold on to that thought, and we'll get there in a minute.
Yep.
So Burnham comes to see. Oh, the Starfleet tells Lorca they're going to give him an award.
They've got the algorithm. You know, they've figured out the cloaking. Lorca's going to get a medal. He doesn't look really happy about it either.
No, yeah, and that's not what he's in it for.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, they want him to come back to Starfleet, Starbase 46, and he doesn't want to do it. He wants to stay on the front lines. They've got the Klingons on the run now. The ship of the dead's been destroyed. They can use the decloaking. They can see through the cloak.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he doesn't want to go home.
Yep.
But it's interesting that he goes to tell Stamets.
Yes.
That he told them to give him the award because he was the one who did it. He did 133 jumps.
Yeah. Yep. And it's there's a really nice scene in here too where Ash and Michael Burnham are you know, she's basically who was this Klingon to you, and you know he basically, this is where we get into the I was her prisoner for, you know, 227 days. He had to make a choice to survive not only his capturer but his torturer, and even had a sick affection for him, and it was, you know, it actually was a fairly insightful look into Ash's mindset. You know, it's like he sacrificed everything to survive, and it was, you know, was it worth it? And he basically says, you know, he's really sincere that it was worth it to get back here and be with Burnham, even though, I mean, he didn't know that was going to happen at the time, but he
He did. I mean, you know, prisoners of war, they're, you know, they go through hell and they do whatever they can to survive, and they have to live with that for the rest of their lives, and Ash Tyler is no different. He's obviously feels guilty about what he did, which mm-hmm. is sleeping with Laurel.
Yep.
Although it didn't look much like sleeping.
It looks more like sex abuse.
Yeah,
And he gets nightmares about it later.
And then, Stamets says there's no need for them to warp back to base 46. He'll do one last jump, and that's going to be it for him. He's done at that point. And he tells Hugh that he's going to basically retire and let Starfleet doctors examine him, and then they're going to go to the opera.
Yes, fix him up.
Right.
Yeah.
But of course, we know that there's no way that one last jump works.
That's right. Yes, right. Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
We get to see the weird sex scene with the Klingon female and the human male. It doesn't look that much different from the torture.
No, it does not. It does not look fun.
No. And then he wakes up. He leaves Burnham's side. And he goes to where she's in jail, mm-hmm. In the brig, and the weirdest conversation passes between them, right? Mm-hmm. She says, I would never let them hurt you.
Yeah, he asks, what did you do to me? And she says, I'll never let them hurt you.
But it made it seem like he is somehow controlled by her.
Yes. Yes.
Right. That this, because she had talked about coming from the planet of spies and manipulators, and they had their secret ways of controlling, doing stuff, mm-hmm. and there may be a way of controlling men,
Yep.
Whatever. So from a guy who hasn't seen further than this, it looks like he's not the traitor I thought he was. But he may be under her control.
He may be a traitor nevertheless. Just,
right.
It might not be willing, it might be,
right.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit, that's a little spicy meatball right there, because there's a little bit more about Ash Tyler coming out.
Yes.
And so then they go to jump and it does not go well.
One jump too many.
Yeah. And they end up somewhere that's nowhere.
Yes.
Surrounded by the debris of he asks if it's the debris of the Ship of the Dead,
mm-hmm.
They don't, no one can tell, they don't know where they are, they can't use the star configurations, their star charts aren't working. My obvious thought is they're in a parallel universe.
Yep. And Stamets is down, too. He's like, mm-hmm. he's out. Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to be using the spore drive to get back anytime soon, at least not until he gets fixed.
And he's the only one who can ride the mycelial network, so they really need for him to get better.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just the stuff that I read in the IMDb descriptions of the upcoming episodes just made no sense.
Yeah.
Yes. They're talking about an emperor and just all kinds
you,
of
it
stuff.
Will, right? It will make sense soon.
Okay.
But yes, we have to watch the episodes because there are a way lot more twisty tunnels that all look the same.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. So, well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, I thought a very good episode.
It's a really good episode. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of thought, okay, well, this show is going to be about the human Klingon war.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or the Federation Klingon war. And today's episode basically just jettisoned that whole storyline and sent them somewhere else.
Yes. Well, they've, for all intents and purposes, now that they've got the Klingon cloaking broken, the war, you could see where the outcome would be. They could go on and play that plot line out, but they've decided to take a different direction here.
Yeah, and I don't think that would have been particularly interesting anyway.
Yes, and I agree.
I mean, yeah, right. The arc there was to find a way to defeat their cloaks. We did it.
Yep.
We know now that we're on superior footing. Of course, the other thing is that at least Starfleet Prime has lost its discovery, which was its secret weapon, right?
Yep.
Now, the Klingons don't know that. All they know is that it destroyed the Ship of the Dead, so you could kind of use that as a threat and just say, bring them to the peace table. We know how your cloak works and blah, 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 you know. But, yeah, anyway, so that's not really a problem now because we're not there.
Yeah, exactly. We're somewhere else, literally somewhere else.
So that was, this is an interesting, the show gets more interesting, you know?
Yep.
So, okay. Well, good. All right. So next week we'll follow up with episode 10 and find out what's going on in the parallel universe.
Or at least the start to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
It gets weirder, believe me.
Well, good. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we will talk to you next week.
Night, everybody.
Night, everybody. Bye.